Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, maybe I should play this a little bit here because this would be something coming up a little bit later.
Trying to hold my breath. Let it stay this way.
That is one of the two St. Louis participants on The Voice right now, Audrey Bartholomew, and she's going to join me a little bit later this hour. And I think she can't say a lot because some of the stuff was taped over the summer, and the battle rounds are next week, and she participates in those. The goal is to get to the live competition, and we'll see if she makes it through. She's going to join us at 3:30. You know, I love to it's just kind of a little hobby of mine. When I get angry emails from listeners, for the most part, I don't respond because, you know, believe it or not, you get a fair amount of them. But there was this guy who wrote me a couple of weeks ago named Kenneth, and he was so unhinged and crazy. I thought, I'll save his email. He made all these predictions, and he was ripping me, you know, left and right. It was a long email. I don't even think I read the whole thing, but I thought, you know, I'm going to save this one because he made the prediction that Kavanaugh would not get confirmed, that the Republicans would be wiped out on Election Day, House and Senate, that Trump would be booted because of that in January, you know, when the Democrats take control of the House and the Senate. So I wrote Kenneth today just because I was worried about him. And I said, dude, I actually used just one word before that starts with S. I said, blank, dude. Wait, maybe I can do this. I'm fond of profanity. I just can't use it on the air. I said, dude, I'm worried that you're going to lose your trifecta. I mean, you're already 0-1. The Senate numbers are looking pretty strong right now, really strong this afternoon for ours after all this. So that would make him 0-2. He's probably going to go down swinging because the third prediction would be Trump's going to get booted. So he's going to strike out swinging here. So this was his response to me. I said, keep the faith. I'm praying for you. I said, first, he said, golly, Reardon, first I see you read your emails in a timely fashion because he sent that a few weeks ago. No, I printed this one out, kept it by my desk so I could respond to it eventually. Second, like so many other 21st century Republicans, you're proof of one of the most glaring things that make a 21st century Republican. Your frat boy never grew up love of expletives. So because I use the word that starts with S, yeah, I do like expletives. I am quite fond of profanity when it's used appropriately. I don't use it on the air. I don't use it around my daughter. Well, that might be fake news because the swear jar.
You are fake news.
The swear jar has got a lot of money. Dave, do you have one of those swear jars? You're going to need one, man, when those kids. Yeah. That's not good. She hasn't said anything yet. I think she said one word, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't an F or an S or something like that. So apparently, because I used that word, he says, may I see the posters of fellow frat boy sewer mouse Graham, Grassley, Cruz, Cornyn, Hatch, Kavanaugh et al. And of course, the sewer king himself, Trumpty Dumpty, would surely comprise every inch of wall space in your frat boy bedroom. May I please? Pretty please! Third, it's no surprise that Camoix would lower itself to put the likes of you on the airwaves. After all, this is the same St. Louis station that airs America's biggest blowhard, Rush Limbaugh. Just like, wait, let's see here. He says, I see you two love exclamation points. I don't think I used any. So anyway, he said, and he's still listening. He says he's not listening anymore. But of course he is. Now, I'm realistic about this. I don't think that I've been saying this for months. I don't think the Republicans are going to win the House. I think we're seeing polling right now. You have to realize that most of the districts that are likely to switch, and this is historically accurate as well, and you might remember after I had dinner with Speaker Ryan a few months ago, and he pointed this out, and he's been doing it, you know, he's been doing it a lot because he points out that, and I was going to see if I can pull the exact numbers out here from what Paul said. It's like, you know, they flipped 22 or 23 seats and the margin of error. Or no, they flipped 30 seats historically on average. The party that's not in control, that's just typically historically. Here it is. Kept it in my notes because I do that too. What I told Kenneth is, I said, you know, it's kind of a hobby of mine to keep the wacky, kooky emails and respond to them. It's just something I like to do every once in a while. The average seats lost in midterm is 32. There's a 24-seat majority, 23 districts that Hillary won. So you're going to have Democrats that show up in many of those districts, and these things are local, but if they don't like President Trump or they don't like the candidates, that's the other thing about some of this polling, is that you got to look at the candidates themselves. We've had an example of that here. Well, did Claire McCaskill win 6 years ago because everybody sided with her, everybody thought she was a better candidate for Missouri, or did they just not like her opponent, Todd Akin? Was that something to do with it? I think it may be a combination of both, but the candidates do matter. And when you put kooky candidates up there, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, they come back to haunt you. Now, Alexandria Cortez, the socialist, she's out there saying all kinds of goofy, wacky things. She got elected. Her constituents apparently love socialism and government handouts that can't be justified because they cost so much. But she's going to bring down Democrats because some of the stupid things that she says. And look, I've been honest about this. You have stupid Republicans. I hear from stupid, wacky righties on my email, too. I certainly did during the election. So that there's no, you know, the left does not own the kooks. However, the kooks right now are getting a little crazy. And let's kind of segue. One of the reasons I wanted to read that email is because you have a situation where the folks on CNN are outraged that there are people like Matt Lewis, let me play you this, that are using the word mob when they're talking about the Democrats' reaction to Kavanaugh.
Democrats are already motivated. Donald Trump, like, nothing that happened, last week is going to matter to the person who's already upset about all the other things Donald Trump has done. Democrats were motivated, passionate, angry.
Sure.
They are either going to turn out or they're not.
No, I think he's right about that. And we've talked about that quite a bit in the last couple of weeks as well.
Republicans, they're the team that needed the excitement, the passion, the energy. They didn't have it in midterms. That's what matters for turnout. And now I think they do. And it's because I believe it's the overreaction of the left. When you see people like Ted Cruz getting chased out of restaurants by a mob.
All right, so there it starts. Brooke Baldwin doesn't like the word. There must be a memo that went out at CNN. We don't like the word mob if we're describing the crazy, kooky people on the left who are shouting people down, booting them out of restaurants, pounding on the doors of the Supreme Court, wearing, I didn't even get this, there were a bunch of women that went in front of the Supreme Court and they had, Dave, did you see this? The women that were dressed like bricks? What did I miss on that? I don't even know what that was supposedly symbolic of, but they're crazy. And I said this last week after this was all decided, or earlier this week, that if you think, if you're a sane Democrat, and there are plenty of those, and you want your party to win, I think you probably, many people are smart enough to know, and I tried to tell Jane this last week, that the stuff that you see on television by the mobs accurately described, that's going to backfire on Democrats. So listen to Brooke Baldwin, is outraged.
You're not going to use the mob word here.
It's totally a mob. It is without a doubt. There's no other word for it.
There is no other word for it. It's absolutely on track. So they continued this.
Let me move past the M word, because I do feel like that is part of the weaponization of what's happening now on the right. But at the same time, I think you do make a really interesting point in a piece I read of yours today, that while this whole issue with Kavanaugh and Ford has been incredibly divisive in this country, it has been unifying among Republicans. Like, Republicans had a Republican problem. You had the Trumpers and the Never Trumpers, and your whole point is that this is what caused Republicans to be one big warm and fuzzy family again.
Well, and I don't know if it's a warm and fuzzy family. Matt Lewis had his own answer, but I think it did, you know, create some unity amongst some of us who weren't the biggest fans of Donald Trump and didn't vote for Donald Trump because we got so angry about this. And regular, normal, level-headed people, males and females, who aren't strongly partisan or crazy, looked at that whole display with Kavanaugh and they said, this guy's career is being ruined. It'll be one thing if you had, listen to the, this is back to my thing on Monday when I was here. I said, facts versus feelings. There's not one person, not one person who said that they could remember anything about that party. I feel like we have to move past this because now it's history, but not one person who could remember anything about that party or any specifics by Dr. Ford at all. Maybe if there was like one, I don't know, there's like one person or a half a person that would have come forward, maybe that would have been legitimate. And then the other part of that, and this is the thing that really sticks out to me, is that for 30 years, she didn't have a name connected with that incident. 30 years. And then all of a sudden, it's Brett Kavanaugh and that judge guy, because he wrote that book. It's just more than questionable. And it was a hit job. It was a complete hit job that occurred on Brett Kavanaugh. And level-headed, sane people who aren't driven by their hatred of Donald Trump, they recognize that. And that's why the Senate in particular will remain in control of Republicans after Election Day.
The big story is a big deal. Keeping you informed. News Radio 1120 KMOX.
We have Audrey Bartholomew, who is one of the St. Louis contestants on The Voice, with us in studio here in just a few minutes. So that'll be fun. It's 3:20. I am truly, this is one of those issues, Amendment 1, that I was trying to, I guess, get into a little bit last week. Jim Talent was on the show. He doesn't like this. It's the Ethics Reform Initiative on the ballot in a few weeks. And it's called, Clean Missouri is the group that backs the measure. And we're going to talk here with Benjamin Singer, who's the communications director for Clean Missouri. Because, Benjamin, welcome to the studio. But I think this is a little confusing to some people. And pull that microphone real close to you if you can, and we can talk about this. How are you, first of all?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having us on, Mark.
Did you hear Senator Talent when he was on last week?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, so look, I think there's some of this, and I should mention also that this is an interesting little bipartisan group that's come together on this, because you have folks on your side that would include Senator Danforth, Rob Schoff from St. Joseph, who's been pretty vocal along the, the Greitens situation and some of the other things in the legislature. Let's see here. Jim Lemke, former state senator. Bob Johnson, former state senator. So they're and Paul DeGregorio, who is someone that I've had on my show very many times. So let's start with what you say it does. And I say you say it does because the other side says it does something else. But what does it do?
Absolutely. And I brought the whole text with me here for you to read after if you want, because it's very clear on what it does. And anyone can go and read these facts I'm about to share with you at cleanmissouri.org. So Amendment 1 is going to clean up Missouri politics, and it's going to do that by focusing on the legislature. And it's on the ballot this fall, so folks can vote on November 6th for Amendment 1. So here are the five facts about what it's going to do. One, it's going to eliminate expensive lobbyist gifts by putting a $5 cap on any gift that a lobbyist can give to a legislator.
What's the rule on that right now? Because they've tried to pass some, they haven't really tried to pass ethics reform. It's been one of those things that hasn't moved at all in the legislature. So what can a lobbyist give now?
You hit the nail on the head. Missouri currently has no limits on the gifts that lobbyists can give.
But they have to be declared, don't they?
They have to be transparently reported. However, they don't actually. The legislature has a loophole that hides about 70% of the recipients of lobbyist gifts. So we don't know who's taking most of them. And in fact, every state around Missouri has limits on the gifts that lobbyists can give to legislators. Missouri does not. And the legislature has taken nearly $900,000 a year
lobbyist gifts. Okay, why put $5 on it? Just say no lobbyist gifts.
Yeah, well, so Iowa also has, they have a $3 cup of coffee rule. The idea is, if the folks back home can take their legislator out for a $5 cup of coffee, lobbyists can do the same, but not have an undue influence with these, overseas trips, these expensive steak dinners.
All right.
So that's fact number one.
So that's fact number one. And then the next one.
Number two, it will require that legislative meetings and records be open to the public. Now, that sounds like a no-brainer, but in fact, we've had citizens and reporters kicked out of public hearings for trying to record them on their iPhones to see what folks in Jefferson City are up to. We've had legislators of both parties refuse to turn over their records to the public or to reporters, so we don't know what donors, what lobbyists are they talking to, what are they saying in private that they're saying differently to the voters back home. So that's fact number two. Number three is it will ensure that no political party is given an unfair advantage in the redistricting process when new maps are drawn after each census, and make Missouri a leader in protecting minority
representation. This is where I have a bit of a hang up here. And just stating from the beginning here, I'm not a big fan of this initiative petition process in Missouri and enshrining these things into the Constitution. I think it's been abused for many years, so I'm a little hesitant on that overall, no matter the issue.
Okay.
But when it comes to the redistricting, look, I think we know that in the past, the party that is in control, it's the Incumbency Protection Act, typically, when the lines of the districts are drawn. And that's both parties.
Yeah, so I think you're getting at the issue here, which is we have a process that is driven by insiders. The commissions that are appointed, they are Democratic and Republican appointees. They are lobbyists, politicians, and political consultants make up most of the folks who are drawing the maps, and they're doing it behind closed doors. And when it gets thrown into the judicial process, if those insiders can't agree on a map, then it's also done behind closed doors, and they've refused to turn over the data and claimed it's not subject to the Sunshine Law. The real issue here is that we have 90% or more under our current maps of districts that are safe for Democrats or safe for Republicans. And that means that in 90% of districts, voters cannot hold their legislators accountable, whether Democrat or Republican. We've got folks who are taking all these lobbyist gifts, taking all this big money, paying attention to these big donors, and they can ignore their voters back home.
All right. Hang on one second. Hold your thought.
For
we'll
sure.
Come back. We're going to do this little contest here.
Now, your chance to win with the $1,000 Cash Harvest Giveaway on KMOX.
All right. Here we go. This hour's keyword in the $1,000 Fall Cash Harvest Giveaway is young. Text YOUNG to 72881 by the end of the hour. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. For rules, visit KMOX.com. One randomly selected nationwide entrant win $1,000 brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. I keep encouraging them to use like the word devil's triangle or the phrase devil's triangle for the keyword, and they have not taken me up on that yet. All right, so we're visiting here with Benjamin Singer, who is a spokesman for Clean Missouri. Amendment 1 is the issue. How would those lines then specifically be drawn?
Sure. So districts are required. First of all, the districts have to be equal population. They have to be compact and contiguous. They have to protect minority representation. And they also have to take into account fairness and competitiveness when possible to increase accountability. And then, of course, follow city and county lines when possible.
Yeah, but who's going to do all that?
So great question. So it's going to, what a lot of states are doing is they're adding independence to the process. So it's not just Democrats and Republicans looking after their own party, but someone who's looking after voters. So it's adding an independent expert to the process who takes into account all these criteria, someone who knows what they're doing.
How do you find an independent expert?
Yeah, so it's a demographer.
Would you like me to do it? I can probably do it for you.
Well, if you have a PhD in demography and you're a resident of the state of Missouri.
I do, actually.
Perfect.
Never been able to give that PhD any attention and put it to use, but lo and behold, I can do it here. But that's how you pick them?
Yeah, someone who's going to be
a
qualified
expert. By the
way,
what pencil head out there has a PhD in that?
You know, I was at a Tea Party meeting.
Sorry, no offense to those who do, but...
Yeah, no, I was at a Tea Party meeting the other week, and someone was like, well, I don't know about this because I'm an expert in demography. I have a PhD in demography, but I don't think they'd pick someone like me. And I said, no, actually, it's exactly someone like you who should apply to be chosen.
Independent, yeah.
Yeah.
Just an expert with demographics and things like
that. Exactly.
And then it's still reviewed. I'm not trying to paint all demographers into one, you know, unfair corner here with my comments. All right, so have you, and I want to rush through this only because I'm on limited time. I'm thinking here, hearing your explanation, hearing Jim Talent's explanation, because I do think this is an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my listeners and the audience need to hear the pros and cons. I'm going to let you continue just a little bit here, but I think just working through my mind, which doesn't have much in it, it'd be great to have a debate with you and Senator Talent or somebody else, or someone from your side, someone from the other side, talking about these things, because I think that would be fair. And this is truly one of those issues that I remain undecided on. That doesn't happen very often. I would say there's probably a lot of people out there that might not know enough about this. Did you have any other points, Benjamin,
did we
go through them all?
There are two more things that Amendment 1 does.
Yeah, go through those quickly if you can.
Yeah, and we know the facts are on our side, so we're happy to talk to anyone who will listen, debate, whatever. So the other two things Amendment 1 will do is it's going to require politicians to wait 2 years if they want to become paid lobbyists.
Yeah, I love that, by the way. I'm a big, big fan of that. I maybe even go further than that. But look, This is part of the swamp in Washington, too. And I wish, it's a great gig if you can get it. These guys come out of the legislature and they are handsomely rewarded. It even goes beyond that. I mean, there's these civil service appointments. I don't know if this addresses any of that, because there's cushy jobs that result out of political appointments that also end up resulting in a couple of different pensions, for example, because you have double dippers out there.
And you wonder,
none of this really affects that, though, does it? I mean, is there anything you can do to control that?
On the commissions piece, I don't think so. It just really addresses whether they're paid lobbyists. And, you know, we've had legislators who are negotiating lobbying contracts while they're still
that's
in
ridiculous.
Office.
I know.
Who are they really serving? Are they there to serve voters? Or
no,
are they special
themselves.
Interests?
And themselves. And look, I'm all for people making money, but that doesn't seem to be, if you're a public servant and you're trying to get you know, things done for the people, that it should just be ladder climbing into a position that's going to pay you all that money. Again, all for it. If you want to make that money, you want to be a lobbyist, but to transition in that way. So that would be a 2-year limit. Who would police all of this?
Great question. So the Missouri Ethics Commission is responsible for policing the lobbying and also the campaign finance. I didn't get to this, but it closes some big money loopholes that currently exist in campaign finance law and lowers campaign contribution limits. And that's why it's been endorsed. You know, this full package has been vetted and endorsed by the leading nonpartisan organizations, the AARP, the League of Women Voters, the Campaign Legal Center. You know, as you mentioned, Senator John Danforth, Paul DeGregorio, who was appointed by President George W. Bush to chair the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. They've vetted it. They see it's good, transparent, nonpartisan policy. Anyone can read it for themselves and get involved at cleanmissouri.org.
All right, Benjamin, I'm going to talk to my producers in the other room there, Fred Bottomer, and we're going to see if we can get on with
Fred Bottomer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Get on with one of the folks from the other side and do a little debate here, because there's time before the election, and I'm easily confused. I remain a little confused, but I'd like to hear both of you guys together. We'll do it.
Let's look forward to it. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Clean Missouri. It's 3:30.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Blues are on the radio.
This is Joey Vitale. This Thursday night, the Blues host Matthew Tkachuk and the Calgary Flames as they wrap up a season-opening 3-game homestand. Face off at 7, pregame show at 6:30 on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX.
Well, we have two St. Louis contestants on The Voice right now, awaiting their fate. 13-year-old Kennedy Holmes is great, and so is this voice. Listen to this. This is Audrey Bartholomew. Jennifer Hudson picked her, and I think Kennedy's on Jennifer Hudson's team as well. She joins us in the studio this afternoon to talk about all this excitement. Audrey, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm well. How are you?
Is this just about as exciting as standing before those 4 chairs before they turn around being on my show? It's got to be kind of close, right?
It's the same thing. It's more of an honor. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming in here.
Thank you.
I'm excited because I got home last week from a movie. And my wife's like, you gotta watch the St. Louis girls on The Voice, because we kind of watched that show together, but she cheated on me just a little bit with watching it. Yeah, you know, you get excited about it. But so how did this all happen? Let's go back a bit, because you're not from here originally, this area, right? You're from California?
Yes. Yeah, so I grew up in Pasadena, California, and then after my freshman year of high school, my dad was like, we're moving. And I was like, oh, joy. And, you know, being in high school was already tough enough, but having to move in the middle of it kind of was
I moved
really
when
rough.
I was a freshman from Chicago to here. Yeah, it's
oh,
not
boy.
It's not
just like
fun.
The big city life to, like, you know, it's still a big city, but it's not, you know, as...
Right. Well, you know, much better climate here than California,
obviously,
right?
Obviously, 4 you know, seasons. Who doesn't want that?
Exactly. So you move here then when you're a freshman, it's tough. When did you start singing?
I started singing at the age of 3. I like to say the story. MTV was on, you know, as it always should be with a 3-year-old in your house.
Right. Of course, that's just good parenting.
Obviously. Yeah. Love you guys. Destiny's Child, Say My Name was on, and it was The Bridge. And I remember there are videos. I don't really remember this, but there are videos of me dancing and singing along to it in my diapers. So I just knew from then on that I wanted to sing.
So my little girl, who's 3.5 right now, she does the dance moves to songs, and she tries to sing every other word, but she does like to kind of dance. She loves
put
music,
her through some,
but
some
she
classes.
Loves music, which is cool because I'm a big music guy. So, you know, I failed with my boys. I have older kids too. When it comes to their musical taste, I'm hoping to shape hers just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you know people influence them yourself.
No,
you
that's
can't.
Great. I just want, quite honestly, my sons are big music fans, and we do have some commonality. But I'm thrilled that they're music fans, you know, because they're into it as much as I am. So you start singing, and then are there talent competitions and stuff like that you're participating in?
Yeah. So when I first moved here, I immediately wanted to integrate into the music/theater community out here because I knew it was really prevalent and strong. And that's something that I knew that I could, you know, kind of reach out to other people and find my home in. So I joined the St. Louis Teen Talent Competition, and I did that twice. And I did the Muni, a show at the Muni a few summers ago.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so I've just been trying to, you know, get in with the St. Louis community.
Right. Now, Sue, did you, Audrey, did you, you were on America's Got Talent?
Yes, okay. I was on America's Got Talent when I was 16. I got two yeses, two noes, so, you know, mathematically, that's a fail. Ugh.
Who gave you the noes?
I think it was Howie.
Oh, Howie Mandel.
And Howard Stern.
So Stern gave you a
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just look at him and look Whatever. At his hair. You could have made
I'm
fun
not
of
mad.
His hair
Everything
right
happened
now.
The way
so,
it was.
But you also, did you also audition for The Voice one other time?
I auditioned for The Voice several other times.
Several
actually.
Other times. Yeah. But never to the point where.
No, not to this point.
Yes.
It was just like at the open call.
Producers and
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so when the open calls came around this time, I was like, I'm not doing it. My mom emailed me because I was in school at the time, and she was like, we're going during your like winter break. And I was like, Mom, like they've already said no. Like, I think I should just take the hint.
Right, right.
And she was like, there's no, you don't have an option. And I was like, well, I guess if I don't have a choice, then I'm going. So I went and
where do they
it
take
out.
Where do they take place? Are they out in LA?
They're in different locations.
Depending
so I went
where
to the Indianapolis
yeah,
one.
Yeah, sort of like regional
yeah,
stuff
exactly.
like that. So you get through. Now, how does this all work? The producers say, all right, you're going to perform before the judges?
Yeah.
And so you know you're doing that. And when did that take place? How long ago was that?
So we filmed the blind auditions over the summer.
It was over the summer.
Yeah.
So you've known for a little while here that you got a chair to turn around.
Yeah,
and
my lips were sealed.
So, right. So, yeah, and that's got to be tough. So you do your song. We played it here at the beginning. And I always am curious about this because I think some of this is producer driven where there are good singers that you know a chair is going to turn around, but they don't turn around to the last minute. They kind of make you wait. Mm. And that's kind of what happened here with Jennifer Hudson, right?
Thank you. But I don't know. I don't know what was going through her head. Because
I'm not saying that she did that on purpose,
yeah.
but she didn't turn around till the
oh,
last
yeah.
minute,
she
right?
Oh, yeah. She left me, you know, on my toes. She definitely made me work for that chair turn.
So what's going through your mind is
yeah.
you're, because I get terrified for the singers and you feel bad for them. Like, my wife always makes me fast forward through the folks that don't make the cut
yeah.
because you feel bad for them. But
yeah.
when you're on stage, you got to still belt out your song, but then you're thinking, Mom, why did you make me do this,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. There was like, I was looking at myself like 4 months ago, like, Mom, I don't want to do this. And like, I was going to like say, I told you so after if I didn't get a chair turned. But yeah, I remember just seeing, I started off the song and I was like, okay, you know, this is fine. Like, they just make me want to wait around. And then like a minute goes by and I'm like, okay, someone, anybody,
around,
please
right.
turn it around. So I remember hitting that last note and I was like, it's now or never. I just got to go as hard as I can. And she heard, I guess, my thoughts, like, I need you to turn.
Awesome.
But my goal was always to just put on a great performance and not get a chair turn. It was to make, hopefully, America see something in me. So I'm glad that J-Hud also saw something in me.
Yeah, I call her J-Hud too, you know, when we hang out.
Yeah, we're buddies, you know, J-Hud.
So she picked you on her team, and then Kelly said that, you know, she was a little regretful she didn't turn around, right?
She did say that. I was like, well, Kelly, you should have turned.
You
I don't know
snooze,
what to tell you.
You lose. All right, so where are we at with all this right now? Has there been some stuff that has been taped that we have not seen yet?
Yes.
Okay, so there's still some stuff that you can't talk about, right?
Yeah.
What if I tell you, just between you and me, we won't tell the rest of the thousands of people listening right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, totally.
Hint, hint.
So this is what's going to happen the
okay,
next
good,
round.
Okay, good,
I'm going to put it on a good performance.
All right, there we go. So then your goal here is to make it to the live shows, right?
Yes.
When
yes.
will those take place?
Those take place in November.
Okay, so we're keeping our fingers crossed for that.
Yes.
This has got to be fun, though, just to kind of be persistent and make it through to this point.
Yeah, I just feel really blessed and lucky because I know a lot of people that were so talented that didn't even get a chair turn. So I'm just grateful that I even got one.
Sometimes I watch, I think we've all done this, and I think sometimes it's because the judges are looking for particular things on their team.
Yeah.
But I want to throw things at the TV sometimes for some people that don't get through. And I'm
yeah.
like, wait a second, that person was better than, at least to my ear, the guy or the gal that they picked.
I think music is just so subjective and everyone has a different ear. So it's really hard, I feel like, being a coach on The Voice. But also, like you said, there are some people like, oh, they should have gotten through. But sometimes they already have someone in a similar style. So you just never know what like when your time is.
So have you worked or can you talk about working with Jennifer
yeah,
a little bit as a coach?
J-Hud is really cool. We are both kind of goofy personalities, but we can also like, you know, tone it
be
down,
serious,
be serious
right?
when we're working. But being someone that has a musical theater background, and she has also obviously done musical theater, I've found it really like easy to be like to work with her because we work on similar styles. So I could be like, oh yeah, so this musical, and we talk about that, and then we go back to like R&B and like what we do when we record.
I mean, no matter what happens at this point, and I'm hoping you probably look at it this way. Great to make the live shows. You get there, maybe you go further. But just this experience and working with Jennifer Hudson, you can't. You know, that's
you
the
can't top that.
right. You can't top that.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I remember when I was waiting for a chair turn, and it was like getting down to the wire. I wanted to at least make someone feel something, which is really hard to do when their backs are towards you.
Yeah, so that's a strange dynamic.
You're like trying to make them hear like the emotion in your voice, and that was something that I was going for.
Well, what's the outside of winning The Voice?
Okay.
What do you think? Let's see if that can happen. We'll work on that part. But what do you hope will happen with your professional career in singing? What do you want to do? Musical theater or make a record? Or what do you think is going to happen, Audrey?
You know, I want to do it all. So I want to be the youngest recipient of the EGOT, which is the Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. I think John Legend is currently the youngest one now, so I like that goal.
Yes, that's
what I'm going
for.
So I really want to do it all. I think start off in Hollywood, whether that's like recording or doing movies, and then from there move on to musical theater. But yeah, I think through this show I've had so many great opportunities already, and so I'm so excited to.
You know what's
cool
is, and I'm envious because I'm an old dude, and you're very young, and you have your whole life in front of you and your career, but you just have all these options, and you just, you know, what I like about your story and when people have passion and talent and really, I mean, I don't think I have any, but I've done this since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew what I wanted to do and I had a mission and a focus, and luckily I never really had to work for a living because I blab on the radio. But you don't know how the connection that you make on The Voice, whether it's with Jennifer Hudson or somebody else, might come back to help you in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years. And you don't know what you're going to be. I mean, you could take this thing in all kinds of directions, and that's pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the not knowing that's kind of exciting, especially in this business, because it is so, like, fickle. You don't know, like, if you're going to have a job or not. But I think just maintaining the faith and working hard is something that I'm going to, you know, depend on.
You got to do it. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, look, I love your positive attitude, and
your
singing voice is lovely. And thank you so much for coming in here, and we look forward to seeing what's going to happen here with the rest of the show and The Voice. And do me a favor, tell J-Hud I said hello. It's been a while since I've seen her,
sure.
All right?
Yeah, like, hey, Mark said hello.
Send her my love.
Thank
Thanks,
you
Audrey.
So much.
Take
Thank
care.
Never
for me. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, we do it every afternoon at this time, and it's sponsored by the Good Feet Store, Pain Relief and Comfort to Fit Any Budget. I love Sam Elliott. How can you not like actor Sam Elliott and that deep, gravelly voice? I'm very envious of that. Well, he's in the new movie A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. And on Stephen Colbert last night, this is very funny. We're going to get off politics here for a second. Stephen had him read to a straight read, as we say in the business, of Lady Gaga's lyrics.
Speaking of your incredible pipes, as I said, Lady Gaga, or Stephanie, as you call her, she's the lead. It's an amazing performance.
It's a brilliant performance.
I would love, if you could, just to hear your voice and her amazing lyrics together. Would you be willing to give Lady Gaga lyrics the Sam Elliott treatment? Just open up the taps and let the smooth come out. Would you be all right? We got them right over here. They're in the camera. If you just talk into camera 3 right over there and read those, and they're broken up by line.
Here we go.
Don't be a drag.
Here we go.
Just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen. I won't tell you that I love you, kiss or hug you, because I'm bluffing with my muffin.
Now bring it home. Bring it home, Sam Elliott.
Rah, rah, ah, ah, ah. Roma, Romama. Gaga, ooh, la, la.
I mean, how good is that? Sam Elliott with Stephen Colbert last night. I love it. And by the way, the movie, you know, I've talked about it last week, reviewed it last Friday. The movie is outstanding. A Star Is Born. Big movie releases tomorrow. We'll review 420 tomorrow afternoon with Paul Hall, including First Man. Total information, PM, coming up.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!